We've passed the halfway point of our show here on Darren Donick and Chase. Willie Donick and Chase McCabe here with you, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Our thanks to Adam Vingan, who has moved along. Elliot Friedman will join us at 1 o'clock, and we always enjoy his perspective on the game. He of the 31 Thoughts, the Hockey Night in Canada, All-Star Weekend coming up in St. Louis. But we're going to check in with Chris Domino, who is with us from 6A to the Fan in Atlanta. We had an interesting baseball discussion yesterday, and Chris is always on the ball when it comes to that. Well, Chris, something that you said to us in an interview, I guess it was right after Harold Baines was elected. It was somewhere after that, where you what has stuck with me, you put it in really good terms, that now that Harold Baines is in, every team and all their fans would say, well, we've got at least three guys that are sitting out there that now should be in if Harold Baines is in. So I thought of you when they made these latest announcements. Ted Simmons is one, and now Larry Walker right on the borderline. So just your thoughts on this this past Hall of Fame balloting.
Yeah, I don't like playing a game of if he's in, then this guy has to be in because the quote-unquote bar has been lowered, therefore, but it's true. So I did a little experiment. It's funny, this morning on the air, I said, you know, close your eyes. It's the ninth inning, and there's two guys sitting on the bench. It's Fred McGriff and Harold Baines. And I got to tell you, you got to pick one. Tell him to pick up a bat and go get it done. I'm picking Fred McGriff. I'm picking Todd Helton. And it's not to sort of besmirch Harold Baines, but the reality is I can think of guys that maybe their careers were shorter in number of games played, but of course Larry Walker's a better overall baseball player than Harold Baines. So if you're going to tell me, well, Larry doesn't get in, Harold was voted in by this other group, well, then it's not really the Hall of Fame the way it was supposed to be, which is, in theory, everybody is equal in the Hall of Fame.
Right. That does seem to be the deal, right, is this Veterans Committee has a different standard, a different way of going about it than the writers.
And I'm not angry. You look, if those people believe, whether it was a swell guy or, you know, I saw him play and let's take the writers out of it, whatever the mantra might be, I think I can name too many guys who won't get in the Hall of Fame that I think if you play that scenario out, him or Harold, tell him to pick up a bat, Harold's going to lose. And when you're in the Hall of Fame, you're really not supposed to lose that much. I think Todd Helton gets helped by something like this. It's the Colorado thing plus the idea that, okay, if it's this is the bar, that guy's supposed to be in. I don't want to make it overly inclusive, and I don't want to, although years ago, it was a long time ago. I said, maybe we're supposed to have a middle of the Hall of Fame that's just for the elite of the elite of the elite. And then everybody else gets to sort of be on the periphery of that. And I'm not telling you that's a great idea, but I don't want to start chucking plaques out either. I don't want to go to the roof and start throwing them onto the middle of Main Street in Cooperstown.
Right.
They get smashed.
You do have to draw the line somewhere. And so I'm curious about two guys in your area, Chris, because we get this a lot here. There's a lot of Braves fans in Nashville for sure. Dale Murphy is one that comes up every year. And then you just brought up another one in Fred McGriff, whose numbers probably, because of analytics and everything, have been heightened. So what is the discussion? How much outrage is there about those two guys in particular? Or is there another in your area?
Yeah. Well, Andrew Jones is the newest version of that. But it's gone on for a long time with Dale. And I think a lot of people do say, when you talk about quality of guy, my God, let's class up the Hall of Fame a little bit. Let's make it smell a little bit better than it does right now. Put Dale Murphy in, and you sort of do clean up the room. Dale's been going on for a while. Andrew has been, my analogy has been this, and I don't like stealing other people's stuff. I heard this yesterday on the national show, and I did ask it on the air today, but I gave credit. If Andrew's career was flipped, look, Nomar Garciaparra was a Hall of Famer, then he wasn't. Andrew Jones was a Hall of Famer, and then he wasn't. If you hang around too long, it's bad. Albert Pujols would have been a unanimous choice. He still might be, but if you look at the last 6 years, then you go, oh, goodness. When you look at Andrew Jones's last 6 years, you go, oh, my goodness, really? Much more than even Albert Pujols. So does Pujols go from 99.8% to 92, or do they just chuck out whatever it is as a finish? If Andrew had from 19 to 23 sort of the he doesn't know his rear end from his elbow, he's too young, and then had the back end 10 years, 10 gold gloves, 400 home runs, the lifetime average, if it was 268 instead of 254, and if you look at this last 6 years, there's no run production, there's no run scored, batting average wasn't good. Every number then gets diminished. But if it had been flipped, where you just say youth, he was figuring it out, and then the last 10 years of the back 10 were the ones that he had sort of closer to the beginning, would he be a Hall of Famer? It's an interesting question. the dynamic of, do you need a big moment plus? You need a Heisman moment. Bill Mazeroski had it, but why isn't Andrew Jones the Bill Mazeroski of outfielders? 10 gold gloves, and my God, it was effortless. You know, I just, and so Andrew's the new version of that. It's Murphy, it's Fred, and it's Andrew now sort of in this area. Billy Wagner's a guy that I think has been totally disrespected for a long time, and the fact that his vote total went up to like 17%, people were like, oh, isn't that great? I was like, yeah, relatively speaking, it went up, but 17% is a joke. Billy Wagner was a beast, you know, and I'm not, whether he's supposed to get in or not, you make the debate, but I certainly know he's been discounted and discredited for way too long.
Talking to Chris Domino, 680 The Fan in Atlanta. So the Braves, Chris, make some news this week, signing Marcell Ozuna to a one-year deal. He's going to be the everyday left fielder. That bat, you know, replaces Josh Donaldson, who goes on to the Twins. So first, your thoughts on that and what he's going to bring to the lineup.
Yeah, so Alex Anthopoulos did a teleconference the other night where it really wasn't still a lot to talk about the Josh Donaldson deal because it wasn't official, and you really got to stay out of the way until they introduce him, until they say it's official, which happened yesterday. So he was on the station yesterday afternoon. I'll tell you what he said in case some Braves fans did miss it. Marcell Ozuna, what I was told by a couple of guys in St. Louis when they played in that ridiculously bad 26 minutes of Game 5 go-home 2019 for the Braves, Marcell Ozuna had a really terrible September. And what I was told is when it's not going very well, he's a step slower. He might not be as engaged. He's not a bad guy, but he sort of needs to have it going well to actually get it to ramp up even from there. He was standing on second base in Game 1, pumping his fist. You know, something happened. It was just like, yeah, yeah. I looked over at the guy who told me. He said, you're in trouble now, because now he's engaged. 29 and 80-something RBIs, hit behind Freddie Freeman. I'll take it. Batting average wasn't great. He doesn't throw as well as he used to. But I didn't care if it came from third base or the outfield spot. You know, I'll take it. If you tell me the guy has 30 home runs, 92 sticks, and hits 270, 265, I'm going to take it because it's certainly going to be better than any other alternative. With Donaldson, Alex Anthopoulos said what we knew. He said that they had every opportunity. It was respectful by Josh and his people. They came back and said, this is what we have. Would you like to match? And the Braves said no. They had a walk-away price. So I think Josh said something about they weren't even in the realm. I don't know what realm is. Is it $8 million, $7 million, $10 million? You know, they weren't close, whatever. But they had a walk-away price, and it's the number of years, ages 36, 37, 38. They just didn't want to be in on that. They respected him. Alex Anthopoulos went so far as to say Josh Donaldson helped him in his career. He brings him to Toronto. He gets an MVP. That's how you actually keep working as a general manager in baseball. So he thanked him for it. He said he enjoyed it. Part of the Ozuna deal was it's a friendly, easy place to play. It's a good hitter's ballpark. You have an opportunity here to pull a Josh Donaldson, get on a one-year get-back deal, and then go sign a multi-year deal. So the guy's going to be motivated, no doubt about it. And I think he knows that after watching Donaldson do it last year, the possibility exists that a one-year deal could actually be the way to go at this point.
My biggest concern for this team is third base. And whether it's Camargo or Austin Riley, I feel like Austin Riley is the prime example of somebody who gets called up out of necessity, has a great month hitting the cover off the ball, pitching figures him out, and then he shows that he's just not ready. And so starting in AAA is probably what's going to be the answer for him. Do you think they're done?
What if he has a good 6 weeks in spring? Do you change your mind or no?
Yeah. I mean, that would help me change my mind. I'm going to be paying close attention to him in spring training. I mean, if he's ready, if he proves that he's done the work in the offseason and he does the work in spring training, that he's ready to be the everyday third baseman, then okay, sign me up. But do you think that's the route they want to go, or are they still looking to possibly bring in somebody else?
So I think, look, because this is what you say, Camargo, Riley, that's our third base situation for now. Could it change? Sure. The pie in the sky, whether it's Arenado or Bryant, I don't know. I do know that Arenado, kind of on a no-trade clause contract, he sort of pushed himself to the point where he better be a little bit more open if this is really a feud with him and Colorado management. There's this talk that, you know, I laughed about it, so it was brought up by my partner this morning that, you know, there's Instagram workout videos of Johan Camargo, and he's really pushing it around. Well, okay, I think last year when he realized he wasn't going to be the everyday third baseman, he might have gone the other way. He didn't play winter ball, and it looked like he was out of shape. They say, nope, not this year. That's great. I don't really care what you weigh and how you look. The Austin Riley one is a little bit more interesting to me, because when you strike out at a 43% clip coming down the stretch, I mean, that's mind-numbing. I have no doubt in my mind he was mind-blank at the end of the year. he didn't know rear end from elbow, which stinks. Now, the good news is you get an off season to try to calm down. We'll find out in spring if he's – I don't want to say spring training is June because it's not. But he does have pressure on him this spring to show that, as you said, he's not supposed to be in AAA. So I kind of like the idea that he's under the gun kind of quickly. And kind of quickly for me means before the regular season starts. He has to prove that he is better than he played for a really extended period of time at the back end of him going crazy and helping you win baseball games.
Chris Domino is with us, 680 The Fan. Chris, I'm curious, again, bouncing off of, you know, a guy who works in a baseball market. We've done our talk about the sign stealing. Here's my theory I want to throw out to you. All of the minds that have been called out in here were in the American League, right? The Astros, the Red Sox, you know, right. Beltran goes to the Yankees. Who knows what was going on over there? But so when I've talked to the guys, some of the guys who live in this area that are major league ball players, that is the sense I'm getting. The guys who were in the American League had heard about this stuff a lot more than the guys in the National League. What is your sense of the Braves and how much this was getting discussed in your circles before it all came to light?
Look, do I think that players have an idea? Yes. Do I think some want to play investigative guy to try to figure out what it is they're doing? Yeah, I don't think that's everybody, though. It's interesting. I will tell you that Walt Weiss was on the MLB Network, and when a guy on a coaching staff denounces it, I'll just tell you what I said about steroids, and I do believe this. And I've had guys who look me in the eye, guys that I'm friends with, guys that I like and trust, and I go, okay, I'm not vouching for anybody. Whatever it is you tell me, that's great. That's your story. But I'm not vouching for anybody. I'm not saying you did, but I'm certainly not saying you didn't. And that's across the board. Same with this. I'm not vouching for anybody. You know, I can catch hints if a coaching staff guy is saying, well, you know, of course it's ridiculous. And by the way, it's not sign stealing. We got to stop calling it sign stealing. You and I know what sign stealing is. This is not that. I don't have a catchy name for it, but it's not sign stealing.
It's worse. You're saying it's technologically, it's cheating.
Blatant cheating.
Blatant cheating. Sign stealing isn't necessarily cheating, right, if you're doing it the right way.
Well, let me ask you, the American League thing would lead me to believe, and I hadn't thought about it, but if pitchers are nervous about it and they don't have to bat in the American League, like the idea of, well, that guy, who usually pays a price? Star players get retaliated against because that's what's going to happen. I got to go get yours. And then the pitcher thing is, I'm not sure why it would be American League, although I can tell you, I am not crazy accusation guy. I'm not. I've never done it. Off the record is off the record, but whatever date it was, November 12th to November 18th, and all this stuff came out, I got a call, and I went on the air, and I felt good about it the whole time saying, there is no doubt in my mind Alex Cora isn't keeping the job in Boston. Now, I didn't know if he brought it to Boston. I kind of thought he did. I said, well, when this comes out, Alex Cora is going to be at the damn center of it. And sure enough, he was, because I had somebody tell me, no doubt about he was the ringleader, mastermind, or whatever it was going to be. The thing that really stinks is the Beltran-Brian McCann story was we get veteran guys to teach young guys how to play. And whether speaking of Hall of Fame, how much does this hurt Beltran? Because you could certainly point to a fact that, especially with the World Series at the end and the uptick story that it was, wow, this guy served as Yoda. He just helped that young bunch win. Well, not only did that go away, it went away in buckets. And his Hall of Fame candidacy, I think, is going to be changed. And, you know, I saw the owner said they're all going to apologize. I don't know. They certainly didn't start it last weekend. I don't care what guys say. Like, I'm very good friends with Brian McCann, and people keep saying, well, if Brian wants to, he's going to do it. If he wants to talk to me, he's going to do it. My conversations with him are more friendly-based, like friendship-based, than this. I'm not looking to play gotcha with anybody. At some point, whether they're laying in your bushes and they're ambushing you to get a microphone up your nose, or like these guys who are going to spring training, you will have to say, even if it's no comment, you're going to have to say that. So for everybody who's rushing for guys to say it, I don't really understand that. I don't like what Bregman did. You know, that guy sounded like he was about to go into witness protection somewhere in Arizona. That was like a bad B-movie, the way that he was playing that card. And Altuve didn't help himself either. They're going to have their moment. I think everybody on that team is going to have their moment. But I'm not one of these guys who's demanding it. You know what I mean? Like, I think there's a bigger picture in baseball. I think MLB screwed up. I don't think that stuff was harsh enough. The fact that we're hearing that players spoke so they got immunity is ridiculous. There's a lot of things. There's tentacles of this thing that that just stink to high heaven. And I swear to you again, back in November, I said, this is all true. What Pete Rose did is nothing compared to this. They threw the integrity of the game around, and I finally said, you can't do that again after a World Series was canceled in 94. Don't tell me about the integrity of the game. That's just an easy catchphrase for you guys. But if there is such a thing as integrity or you're looking for it, what Pete Rose did is nowhere near what this is. And let me just give you one more if I can. Roy Oswalt and I went at it. We got into it in spring training a number of years ago. He was one of the guys who talked about steroid guys. And his line was, you're taking food off my plate, you're taking money out of my pocket. So I said on the air, well, if you're on the mound and you look to your left or your right, and you have a guy who hit a 3-run home run who's using, and you got a 5-1 lead and the guy coming out of the bullpen is using, what are you talking about? Like, I just thought at that point, that was a really sort of – he's saying I'm clean. He's declaring I'm clean. So let's just take him at his word. But if it's taking food off your plate and money out of your pocket, it's really not. Because if you're getting wins and wins used to matter more, and if you're getting benefited – by getting leads, 3-run leads, 4-run leads, 5-run leads from guys who did steroids. So he just came out again and said, well, look, there you go. You use steroids, get millions of dollars, and you cheat and you get fired. Or you steal science and you get fired. He still to this day doesn't understand what the hell the difference is. I'm bummed when guys just sort of get away with, we all have agendas and we all want to make our, take our stand. But there's a little bit of ignorance going on with this stuff too. And I think it's sprinkled all the way from the big office in New York City down to a bunch of clubhouses.
It's a fascinating discussion. Chris, great perspective as usual. Hang in there down in Atlanta, and we will talk to you again here very soon.
Let me ask you this. I'm coming to Nashville tomorrow afternoon for the weekend.
Oh, wow.
I love the town. I'm absolutely looking forward to getting into it. Is there anything going on that perhaps I want to get involved in with a bunch of people that we're coming into town with?
There's always shenanigans.
Yeah, no, believe me, I know.
Always shenanigans.
From a sporting perspective, it's a little light, right?
Yeah.
You've got a lot of the college hoops teams are on the road.
Yeah.
The Predators are on the All-Star break.
The people I'm coming with, they just want to drink. They don't want to.
Well, you can do that anytime.
We got you covered.
You're good there.
Yeah. Okay, good. So they're still doing that in Nashville is what you're telling me. We're okay.
Yes.
Yep, we're status quo.
It has not dried up, I promise.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
All right, Chris, enjoy your time. All right, we'll talk
Thanks,
to you
Chris.
Soon.
Great.
Thanks. See ya.
Chris Tomino, always enjoy his personality. 680 The Fan. Good stuff there. Stay tuned. We're going to come back with more. Remember, Elliot Friedman at 1 o'clock. Stay tuned. We're coming back here on 102.5 The Game.